grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. From above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. And for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit. For you live and reign with the Father and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Did it on a Sunday. And I'm thinking, man, did they really miss the whole A reading from 1 Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to see Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whose name I give." Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. But the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." And Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for he will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
reading from Ephesians. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of the Lord.
Let your steadfast love come to us, O Lord. Save us, as you promise, you will trust your word.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
You may be seated. Some of us may have heard of the comedian Yakov Smirnov. Born in the Soviet Union and immigrating to the United States in 1977, he has made a career of observations about American culture, often expressing amazement at what he sees and ending with, "What a country!" Once, he talked about being in a grocery store. He said, "I'll never forget walking down one of the aisles and seeing powdered milk. Just add water and you get milk. Right next to it was powdered orange juice. Just add water and you get orange juice. Then I saw baby powder and I thought, what a country." Well, he saw things just fine, but he didn't perceive things very well. Something like that happens in our gospel reading for today. It's a story full of drama and suspense, humor and grace. So listen now as I read this story and imagine yourself there. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So he said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does indeed listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born entirely in sin, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." Isn't that an incredible story? And in case you missed it, the only person in the story who sees clearly who Jesus is the man who's blind. And indeed, as the story goes on, there's a steady progression as this man comes to greater and greater understanding of who Jesus is. Meanwhile, the Pharisees and the religious leaders, all of whom can see, more and more become blind to the truth of Jesus there before them. Now, in truth, there are probably a dozen sermons you could be preached out of this story. But today, I want to focus on just two points. First, I've always been fascinated by the fact that after the blind man was healed, his friends and neighbors don't recognize him. All their lives, they had known this guy as a blind man, and now suddenly he can see. But somehow they aren't sure it's he. Later in the story, they even called his parents to try to be sure that this is their son and they had indeed been born blind. And I think this part of the story confuses us. Now, certainly if the man had been born blind, his eye muscles would never have developed any control, and his eyes would have been floating and wayward. But after his encounter with Jesus, his eyes are now fixed and focused. And so I guess he does look a little different. And maybe we can understand that part. But I think there's more. When you encounter Jesus, you aren't the same anymore. You can't be the same. Jesus has happened in your life. You have received grace and mercy and love beyond understanding. You are changed. And it's a transformation that shines in your life, beaming out from within you. And what this blind man saw most clearly was that praise didn't belong to the healing, but to the healer. Just so when Jesus acts in our lives. And then I want us to focus on the very end of the story. In the last scene in this story, the man is cast out of the synagogue. The religious leaders can't deal with the example of this man in their midst, and so they got rid of him. He is isolated, away from the community that had been his only support. His faith was challenged by those who were supposed to know about such things. And suddenly, he has a deeper need than his blindness ever was. And that's when Jesus reappears, seeking him out, ministering to these deeper needs, and inviting him into community, into relationship with him. Author Peter Senge noticed something unusual among a tribe of natives in South Africa. The most common greeting in the native language, equivalent to hello in English, is the expression "Sawubona." It literally means, "I see you." If you are a member of the tribe, you might reply by saying, "Sikhona, I am here." The order of the exchange is important. Until you see me, I do not exist. It's as if when you see me, you bring me into existence. And that's what Jesus does. Seeing this man as more than a spectacle or an object of debate and discourse, he saw this man as a person in need of love and welcome. And that's what he gave. Just so, we are to see others in the same way, getting past our differences, getting past our indifferences, getting past our fears, getting past our busyness to see others in their need and to get on about God's business, to offer love and welcome. Stranger, refugee, neighbor, we are called to say, "I see you." A God who finds us in our need and welcomes us. A God who changes us and who calls us. That's God's way. Would you please rise? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
living together in trust and hope, let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen.
We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God,
whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Dear God of light, you have opened our eyes. Even in the darkest places, help us to see that you are always with us and you go before us. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God of creation, thank you for the gift of sunlight. We see, hear, and touch your creation that surrounds us. Our hearts are happy to feel the bloom of spring. Give us the wisdom to live each day as you have created us to live it, that we may dwell in your love as your children. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God of all nations, please be with those who live in darkness. We know there are conflicts and persecution across the globe. Help us to see that you, your love and your reconciliation has no borders, and that your peace is for all people. We pray now for all in conflict of any kind in every nation, and we pray for all leaders that they may walk in your truth and justice. Lord, in your mercy. Dear God, we are your children. Through the waters of baptism, you formed us in holy faith. Keep us firm in the faith that you give us, that we may see and believe. Be with us as we continue our faith journey, as we look to the cross, and as we trust in the resurrection hope. Enliven us to walk by faith. Lord, in your mercy. God of compassion, we pray for those who are poor, homeless, hungry, or in need in any way. Open our hearts to see the need of others, and then to respond with the grace and mercy that you show us. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all who have experienced loss, all who are grieving. Heal all who suffer. Shine the light of your mercy upon those we name before you now. Remind us all of your love and your care for us. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
merciful God, receive the sacrifice of our praise and thanksgiving and the offering of our lives, that following in the way of the cross, we may know the joy of the resurrection through Jesus.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy God, our living water and our merciful guide, we bless and magnify you. You led your people Israel through the desert and joined us in our desert, pouring out your life for the world. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his life, death, and resurrection, we await your salvation for all this thirsty world. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this holy food and on all the baptized gathered for this feast. Wash away our sin, that we may be revived for our journey by the love of Christ. Through him all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Body of Christ given for us.
Body of Christ given for you.
body of Christ given for you. The 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 body of Christ given for you. 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 The 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 body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. Body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Compassionate God, you have fed us with the bread of heaven. Sustain us in our Lenten pilgrimage. May our fasting be hunger for justice, our alms a making of peace, and our prayer the song of grateful hearts. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Thank you. special shoes. Our feet were killing us. And I said, Sherry, I knew that you were tired because I'm used to being on my feet and I was, you know, tired. So she was, but thank you, you're very sweet. It was fun. It was like,
very useful. So we were thankful for our